Heavenly Father, we are in your presence at this time, Lord, to continue examining ourselves that we may answer this question with all sincerity of heart, whether we are fans or followers. At this present moment, Lord, we ask you to be with the mouth of your servant, whom you will use to speak this morning. Prepare every heart that will receive your words, and we already know your word will not come back to you void. We trust you, Lord, that we all here and those who are listening from wherever will be edified and strengthened to continue the fight that, Lord, we already know victory is on our side. We love you and ask you all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. We are back to continue the series of Not a Fan. And this morning, we're going to have the subject Dead Men's Bones. And the idea behind that is really what the song the choir sing about coming back in the heart of worship. Like Jesus look much deeper than the way things appear. It doesn't just look at the outside, but he searched much deeper. He look into our heart. So dead men bones, it comes from Matthew 23, where Jesus told the scribes and the Pharisees that they look like white tombs, sepulchres. They are nice outside, but if you would only open them, you would only find dead men's bones. A fan, we would compare a fan as a scribe or a Pharisee. We would define a fan as a religious person who is not saved. Very religious, but unsaved. We are going to look just one main scripture, Matthew 23, and this is the last sermon Christ gave. The first one, Matthew 5, 6, 7, the last one, Matthew 23. This was the last public sermon before his death. You know, the first one, he had a lot of blessed in it. But this last one, he has a lot of woe in it. A lot of woes in it. And I want to remind you that this sermon was the straw that broke the camel back. That was the sermon after they heard it. They said, you know what? We have to get rid of this guy. We have enough. We have enough. And from that time on, they really clearly looking for ways to get rid of him. He must be killed. So this is the scripture we're going to look at this morning. And I really don't expect this scripture to be this, you know. Of course, it's easy if we look at it. Oh, this was this message to the Pharisees and Sadducees. But remember, we're talking about not a fan, right? That's because we don't want to be a fan. We want to be followers. So what Jesus is going to talk about, he's talking about really warning us to stay away from fans. And he's showing you exactly what the fans look like and what the followers should look like. More I looked into that, more I went deeper into myself and I examined myself. I said, my goodness, I am closer to a scribe and Pharisees than I am of a follower. It really hurt when you really go inside and say, Oh, at least you can tell, oh, my goodness, I tend to lean toward them more. And then that's a good thing, so we can get back on track. Oh, I don't expect you to find much joy in the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. We're not going to read these scriptures this morning and say, my goodness, they were bad. But I would rather we say, we thought Jesus was talking to them. Maybe it's more to us. First Corinthians 13:5, Paul exhorts us to examine ourselves, whether ye be in the faith. He asks us to prove our own selves. And he asks the question, don't we know our own selves? Examine ourselves. So these verses should help us to examine ourselves more than thinking about how bad the Pharisees and how hypocrites they were. Okay? Matthew 23:1, start from verse 1. Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples. Now let's see that his audience was the multitude and his disciples. So he was talking about the scribes and Pharisees, using them to show the multitude and his disciples what they should be aware of. And he told them, the scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Moses' seat would be that chair in the synagogue where that would give authority, authenticity to whatever was speaking. And he says, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. The law is good, the Bible says. It's good. So whatever they bid you observe and do. But don't do as they do. Don't follow their example. Don't look at their works. So this is what we call on-the-job training. Don't do the on-the-job training things. Go with the book. Trust the book in there. Trust the law. Trust whatever they teach, but don't follow after them. Basically, Jesus, you know what we have, we call walkie-talkie here. So Jesus says that they are talkie-talkie, not walkie-talkie. So go past them. Go beyond them. Like Jesus, Paul would say, no man according to the flesh. Don't look at the flesh. Verse 5, all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. All their works, everything they do, everything, they do it so they can be seen. That's the purpose of doing whatever they do. So if whether what they're doing is good or bad, don't do according to their works, because the purpose behind what they are doing is not just right. They're doing it to be seen, and that's not the way it's supposed to be for you. to be seen not of God but of men. And the phylacteries, the parchment that they bring that on there, you know, there are some few scriptures in there, and there some carry them on their forehead and some in their arms, and it seems like the holier they feel or they think they are, the larger they make that. You know, the original probably was few inches, and then as they keep on this, you know, somebody will come with the larger one, and the next day the other one coming larger and larger, and they're getting, so they want to be seen in the border of their garment. That's to observe, that was told to them, like Jesus, remember the ladies touch his garment's hem. This is a blue border. So they make it wider and wider so they can be seen. You know, all they do so they can be seen. And they love the uppermost room at feast, the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the market, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. And I remember we talked about why they have the long hat. So there can be difference, and you can be coming from far away. You can see that hat, so you can go ahead, run toward them to say, Rabbi, Rabbi. That's, and Jesus in his first sermon, on Matthew 6:1-6, this is what he told his disciples again. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know that what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and the Father, thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. It wasn't anything bad praying. It wasn't anything bad giving alms, but it's the reason why they were doing it. So he said, don't do as they do. Don't do as they do. Actually, if we do what is good, it will be seen anyway, but let God expose that. Don't do it, okay, is somebody coming? You know, and then, no, just do it, and the Lord shall make it manifested. Matthew 23 still, verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. This is for all of us who love titles, position, and we want it to be known. We want it to be known. He says, remember, you have one master, and that's me. That's me. And all are we? What are we?
Brethren.
Brothers and servants, one to another. That's all we are. And of course, as a pastor, you know, pastors love to be called reverent, you know. But when you go to the meaning of reverent, it says the awesome, awesome one. That's what the meaning, the awesome one. Should we be comfortable be called the awesome one? Reverent, you know, reverent. So that's what he's saying. And whether you and me, we love to be called whatever, you know, we feel exalted. He says, no, don't buy in that. He continued verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourself, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. What they would do, they would set rules, make it very hard to follow. It's like before somebody would come to church, we have a set of rules that before they come, they look at the rules and say, no, that's too hard. I cannot. So they just stay out. You know? I share with you before why I wouldn't want to be a Christian. Especially if I would become a Christian, I would not be in the Adventist, 7 days Adventist. Those Ten Commandments were too harsh, and that's what they stand on. The Ten Commandments. And because they put that in front, I said, no, I would want to be a Baptist. It's more relaxed. So it's what happened. You go to a church, you have all those rules, and the Pharisees, the scribes would set the rules and then discourage people to come. It's just too hard, you know? And another way that you shut the door. Another way you shut the door is like don't tell them the whole truth or don't tell them the truth. You shut it up. You see, you just don't feel like telling them. And unfortunately, it's widespread nowadays. If I steal, I don't want to preach about stealing. It hurts. Oh, whatever my sin is, so I just keep it away, you know, so I don't want to talk about it. Then I shut the door. I don't want to go in. I don't want to face my problem to go in. So instead of dealing with it, I shut. I said, well, don't worry about that. It's fine. Or I just don't talk about it. And you will agree with me. We don't talk about sin anymore. We don't. And I say we, churches in general, few. And another reason why we don't want to talk about them, we shut the door. I don't want the congregation to know that I'm a sinner also. I want to let them know I am spiritually higher. So this way I, you know, shut the door. Instead of improving myself spiritually, I keep it the way it is and I go to other stuff. There is that scripture in Hebrews chapter 5, 1 to 3, where the author talks about that every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself offer for sins. The high priest has to realize himself, and he has to know himself. He is a sinner. He is no better. And he actually has to offer sacrifice for sins for himself first before he can go ahead and sacrifice for the congregation. So closing the doors would be just they don't want to sacrifice for their sins. They don't want to recognize their sins. So they go ahead and say, well, let's put this aside. Let's go over the love, the acceptance of God. Let's go over other things. Shutting the doors. Verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They compass sea and land. They do whatever it takes to get one convert, to gain one soul. They will do whatever. But after they get that soul, they had it for their own purpose, their own gain. And the next thing you know, they turn this convert into a more zealous Pharisee, a more zealous scribe, and make that converse worse, twice worse than the way they are. No wonder why it is harder to share the gospel, the true gospel, with a religious person. The deeper they get into it, the harder it is. The deeper, the harder. The longer you've been a fan, the more excited of a fan you are, the less chance you have to hear and understand the gospel. That's why less religious we are, less we are attached to a denomination, less we are attached to a small group, more open we are to listen, to hear. But it's harder the deeper you get into being religious. Verse 16, Jesus continued, woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the goal of the temple, you are in big trouble. Don't touch the goal. Oh, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the goal or the temple that sanctifieth the goal? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon the altar, now that person is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gifts or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a knot and swallow a camel. They would take tithing very seriously. Those small plants with small grains, if they are too small to say, you know, if they're big enough, they would say, 9 for me, 1 for the temple, 1 for the Lord. 9 for me, 1 for the Lord. If it's too small, they put in their hands and they somehow count the 10th and they say, this for the Lord. They take it seriously. You know why? Because they live by the tithes. That's what they have for themselves. They cannot play around with that. It's like cutting the branch you stand on. You stand on the branch, you don't want to cut that. Whatever it takes, we're going to keep this holy. They just omitted the weightier matters when it's come to judgment. Mercy. Faithfulness. They just put this behind them. And Jesus in verse 24, he basically says, you know, the smallest unclean animal, the gnats, like when they drink their wine, they would basically filter the wine so they don't swallow or they don't touch this unclean animal, insect. I know if you ride motorcycles enough or ride your bike or walk enough, those small bitty things, sometimes you swallow them and they get catch right here. And so what Jesus is telling them, when a small thing like that get inside there, oh, we're trying to get it out. But for a camel, let's go ahead, swallow it. They take pride in religious behavior. They take pride in that. Remember in Matthew and Luke 18:9-14, where the two men went into the temple to pray? Oh, the Pharisees, you know. He stood and he said, oh God, I thank thee, Lord. Lord, I thank you. I'm not like any other man. Oh, I'm so blessed, so thankful. I'm not extortioners. I'm not unjust. I'm not adulterers. I'm not even like this. Look at this poor publican here. I'm not even like him. Because I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Take pride. That's what a fin looks like. The outside appearance. And of course, the publican only had to say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord. And in Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22, we are taught that God takes pleasure in obeying than sacrifice. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So anytime we feel like taking pride of how good we serve the Lord, we should look back to, man, how good I obey the Lord. Whenever we start thinking about the great things we've done to the Lord, for the Lord, we should get back to, man, how good I am in obeying the commandments of the Lord. and then we would be placed in a better position. We would not be hypocrites, actors, and actually digging deeper into the meaning. Actors were the lowest form of humanity in the old woman's time. It wasn't something like today, rolling carpet, red carpet, and then everybody applauding. No, it wasn't that. So calling somebody hypocrite as being an actor wasn't a compliment. The legalist, they would substitute traditions for divine requirement. So we would just switch things. Whatever makes us feel good, you know, we adopt it. And whatever hurts too much, we put it aside and put something else to replace it. And this is why, as a church, we have to be careful on the programs we have in the church. Not making it easy to attract, like whatever we're doing, to attract people, making it easy to for attraction. Like I heard somebody say, and it's so true, whenever you see something, it says free stuff or free this, free that, be careful. Be careful, because it's just a way to attract you, but it's not too many things are free. And in Matthew 15, Jesus tackled that very question. He came to the scribes and Pharisees. They were at Jerusalem. He said, they came to Jesus and told him, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. That was very important to him. And sometimes we come up with things that we don't think about it. We just put it out there. We make a big deal out of it. And then we just forget the weightier matters. They eat without washing their hands. But Jesus said, what about you? You transgress the commandments of God by your tradition. Because you used to it, and then you like him, they don't hurt you too much, you like it, then you keep him. He said, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his mother and father, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profiteth by me. And honor not thy father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Verse 7, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth. Put things straight. Not the outside, but it's the inside. Not what the tombs look like, but what is inside of it. That's what counts. Verse 15, still in Matthew 15, Peter then answered and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? You've been with me for so long and you still don't get this yet. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and it casts out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashing hand defile not a man. So you're talking about the tithes and offerings? We keep that straight. I can brag about that. Everyone can see it. I have record. Unfortunately, and sometimes, to be honest with you, many places, many times I go, I don't like to be called pastor, not because Jesus said don't let anybody tell you not to. It's just some places I go, I'm embarrassed to be called pastors because of the reputation of pastors. I tell you what, I remember when in Haiti, it's a big deal to have a license. So you had to go to the ministry of court, they call it, and you have to pass the test. They have to do background check on you. You have to do all kind of stuff. And then finally, you have to go to the high court for them to sign your paper. And then it's a huge day. So that's when they probably take 2-3 years for all the process, and then when that time comes, everybody who pass ready to be licensed, you come together. It's a huge room. And then the judge of that court would give a speech and then do all that. And then in his speech, when I went, oh, man, this man get into all the pastors. He says, I know you guys. I know you. You know how. Basically, he gave the sermon Jesus gave to the Pharisees. I was embarrassed. I felt like, get up and leave. I didn't feel like this was my place. And not long ago, last 2 weeks ago, I went to a funeral in Philadelphia. And I met somebody and he heard, you ever heard somebody call me pastor? But before he heard that, he started to talk about pastors. Oh, he started to talk about pastors and how, you know, da, da, da. And when he heard I was a pastor, he said, well, I'm sorry. So all this make you embarrassed. Because unfortunately, it is true. It is true because we tend to hold tight on the ties, on the programs, on the whatever make it nice for people to come. But anything, we don't preach about sins anymore. And we don't preach about hell anymore at all. Oh no, hell will keep people away. We don't tackle the big stuff. We don't. And Jesus doesn't have a problem with that. He said that's they just omit it. They just take it aside. He says that's what you should be doing without neglecting the other things. He's not telling you to just take this, leave this. No. He wants us to do both. I was working for Brinks Home Security as a alarm tech, and then we took really too much time to install a house. Sometimes we go to the house, we spend 8 hours to wire the house, and then he call us. He says, hey guys, I need some speed here. I mean, it's just, we cannot keep going like this. And then the question was asked of him, what do you want? Do you want us to take our time and do a good job? Or do you want us to just do it fast and then give you a scrappy job? He said, I want both. I want speed and quality. And he meant that. He wanted speed and he wanted a quality job. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He doesn't want us to just, okay, neglect this or the other. But he says we have to do both. While we're preaching about the sins and hell and everything, and we still have to keep up with tithes and offering. Justice, mercy. The temple had to be taken care of. So they were not going to talk about things that would take people out. And remember, business was going on at the temple as well. If you start preaching hard and take people out, then what about the business? What about the birds, the goats, the sheep? Somebody must buy them. They valued extra biblical beliefs over souls. They valued stuff over people. It's like today we're living. When we're talking about health care or justice or whatever, even like you go to school to be a doctor, you see money. You see a good life. Not everybody see, okay, if I become a doctor, I will be very helpful. Do you think when you go to your doctor, of course they care, but you know what? They want to keep you because the budget. The hospitals, yeah, they care about your health, but they are in there for the money, most of them. They're not. It's not social work. It's business. That's what it is. It's business. You're working for your job. Your boss loves you, admire you. You're good to him. It's business. But churches should not and cannot be like that. Church is supposed to be soul saving. Oh, they value the things in the temple more than the temple. And as we know, we are today our bodies. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. This building is nothing special than your house. It's a building. Our temple, our bodies. If one of us become rich enough to get a big place, I don't think we should be paying for this building. We will go to a brother's big house. We have a church there. So it's not this any special. But sometimes we care more for the building than for the souls. And not just us. Everywhere. See some mention, just some million spending. If that would save more souls, go for it. If that would do like Paul said, I did whatever he could to save as many as possible, do it. If I would know for certain, one soul, just one soul, would be saved by the destruction of this building, if I knew for sure, with my bare hands, I would take it down for that one soul. And we should also. But if for one soul also, just one soul, we know this building could save to spend $5 million, we would do it as well. Whatever. We just don't know. But whatever, we balance, okay? Sometimes you make the sacrifice and then you end up having a Judah. But still, even Judah serve a great purpose for being a disciple. Whatever. But we cannot just take extra biblical stuff and then put them over souls. Having tithes and offerings or a building or whatever, it's not anti against the Bible. But as you know, the early church, church building is not even biblical. It's extra. And I just pray one day some of us get rich enough. We can have, like we have community groups, we can have people with big enough houses. We can have churches from different areas where all we concentrate on is worship and evangelizing and, you know, save souls. Verse 25, Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. The blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. He's just calling for priority. Priority. Let's say if you had to use a cup, would you clean the outside first? Or if you didn't have enough water, or somehow, would you clean the outside first? I don't think so. You want to make sure the inside is clean first. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead bones, men's bones, and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This is what fans look like. Outside, they look great, but inside, nothing. Is that what we want to be? I don't think so. But there is one central commandment here. In verse 26, Jesus said, "Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first." He commanded them. Clean first. And that's what I think we should get out of that. Let us clean first within. But he is asking us something that is not real to man, that is not possible. Cleaning your heart, fixing your heart, having the right heart, it's not something you and I can do. We have the will already. Who here would not want to have the purest heart here? We all would do. But we don't have the strength. Basically, this is a call to really come to Christ. Really submit yourself and let him say, "Lord, here am I. I have the will, I don't have the power." Because this is impossible to man, but with God, all is possible. In other words, Jesus is putting in questions and having us to balance our private life and our public life. When I'm looking at here, I only see saints here. I don't see anything less than saints. Angels. You look great. And when we live here in this sanctuary or wherever, we will greet everybody like saints too. Nothing wrong with that. But he is asking us to check about once we leave the building what we look like. When we are by ourselves, what we look like. Because the real you, the real me, is the one when nobody is around. We cannot fool ourselves, and we should not. And remember, in secrets, Jesus knows exactly everything that is going on. So, of course, I mean, you don't have to tell me you feel like a Pharisee or fan. You know. I know. So all he is telling us in the last command, clean the inside. Just clean it up. Clean first the inside. And fortunately, he offers his help. He said, here I am, come. And if you come with a sincere heart, if your intention is right, he says, I will do it. Just come as you are. That's my prayer for you. And I hope you see less Pharisees in this chapter than you see you. See you a lot. See you more. Let us see ourselves more. Because when it's come to fan, we don't want to be a fan. We want to be followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Pray with me, please. God Almighty, we have been challenged in this message to see ourselves as you see us. We've been challenged to look within and to see ourselves in a way that will help us to draw closer to you, stripping away anything that separates us from you and holding on closely to that which makes us more like you. I thank you for this message today. I thank you for the challenge that it's brought to me personally. And I thank you, Lord, that we can examine ourselves, hear from you. Bless us this day, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would ask as you go this week, go with a tender heart towards letting God speak to you about what he would have you to change. I look forward to what God has in store for us this week. I think what I want to share with you as we dismiss now is simply this. As I've studied these scriptures in this series, it's caused me to look deep within myself and to be more of a follower of Christ than ever before. And I pray that's happening for you. I pray that you are allowing God to speak to you through his Holy Word and through his Holy Spirit so that you can have that perfect peace that passes understanding. And that he can look at us as sons and daughters and say that he is well pleased with the lives we live. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Before we do, let's break the silence with the giving the Lord a hand clap of praise. You're dismissed.